This episode of Neckbreaker is officially brought to you by ClickAtTicket.com. They have tickets for thousands of events, including Iron Maiden, NXT, School of Rock, NASCAR, all in caps, and many more. For being our too sweet listener, ClickAtTicket.com is offering you a 5% discount on any ticket purchase. Just Google ClickAtTicket, find an event, and enter the code NECKBREAKER at checkout. One more time, Google ClickAtTicket, add some tickets to your cart, enter the code NECKBREAKER at checkout for your 5% discount. And now, enjoy the show.
And now, your magnificent hosts. No gimmicks needed, John Aubrey. Senior pro wrestling correspondent, Sir Chris Casares. And your executive producer, Brian Thompson. This is Neckbreaker.
All right, welcome to Neckbreaker, the only show that covers the worlds of professional wrestling and heavy metal music. I'm your host, Brian Thompson.
Hi.
Welcome back, John. Welcome back, Chris. It's been
a while.
I'm Chef Goldblum.
Our senior pro wrestling correspondent, Sir Chris Casares.
Hi!
My co-host, John Aubrey.
Hey.
And our guest on this week's episode, Scott Green from Massachusetts metal band, Dreaded Silence.
Hello!
If you could do the generic genre, if you could give a genre for your band name, do you have one? I told John Doom Prog, and it blew his mind for a moment.
Melodic Doom? Yeah, melodic. It was like Doom Prog, something like that. That works really.
Somewhere in that ballpark, that realm of sorts. So, like, you guys are, welcome to the show, by the way.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming out. Before we jump in, I gotta get my shit in.
Get your shit in.
Gotta get my shit in, dog. You have a hole in your shirt, by the way, John.
What? Oh, shit, I do.
Sorry about that. I didn't mean to...
Nice shirt, Mark.
I didn't want...
Mr. Richards?
Compost.
Wearing a composted shirt, in case you were wondering.
Let me check that tag.
I bought the shirt over 2 years ago.
Is that a Gildan? I need to verify this.
Don't fall. You'll land on a cack.
So, quick plug. Got to get our shit in. I'd rather do it now than later in the show when I'm a couple of ciders straight. deep. Yeah. Our return show, Friday, June 17th, Nashville, New Hampshire, Elks Lodge, 720.
Be there or be square.
Dysentery, Parasitic Ejaculation, a ton of our friends' bands. I'm not going to list them all. I don't have that much time.
Pathogenic.
Okay, we'll just list them all, I guess. Conforza.
The anti-Hulk Hogan band, Dysentery.
Yeah, right. Shroud. Shroud got on. Shrewd.
There's a little Woobin' Willie.
Bunch of alumni on this deal, but... yeah. Again, Friday, June 17th, Elks Lodge, Nashville, New Hampshire. Don't be a dweeb. Don't miss out. Check it out.
I'll be there too, yeah.
Yeah, there's no reason not to be there. The Elks Lodge is like a 5-minute cab ride from your house.
Yeah, it's...
Everyone lives where I live, right?
Absolutely.
No.
I might take an Uber to that show.
That's a great idea. Somebody's got a backline.
Yeah, like it could be me for all I care. As long as I get back to my house to take the Uber.
You'll throw your cab in the Uber? Because that would be like the future of touring right here. You could have a touring Uber.
Yeah, I don't know.
Tour using Uber?
Tuber.
Tuber.
Torber?
Torber? Torborg?
Tor. That picked up so loud, by the way.
It was super loud.
Master would not approve.
Scott, again, welcome to Neckbreaker. We're going to want to pick apart your brain. Like, I know you can go on Metal Archives and all that bullshit, whatever, but... Do you have a band history before Dreaded Silence?
I was in a super shitty sort of thrash band called Despite the Sun in 2001. Now, that was about it.
Sort of shitty.
No, we were pretty shitty.
I like the name, though.
Yeah, I still to this day want to keep that band name, but the rest of my friends that are in that band or were in that band are doing other things across the country, and it's not the same without them. Unfortunately, but it was interesting, but you know, we were 2021 and there you go.
You could do Deprive the Sun.
Quite
just
true.
Write every song about not getting enough vitamin D.
What about Despise the Sun?
I really
like Suffocation. That's why I was making those jokes.
Yeah, every time I used to Google it, I would find Despise the Sun instead of Despite the Sun, and I was always a little bit depressed.
It even auto-corrects you, too. It's like, did you mean Suffocation?
Absolutely.
Like, great.
I was like, no, I don't mean fucking Suffocation. But yeah, that was it.
Were you playing guitar for that project as well? Yeah.
Well, I started playing bass because I sucked at guitar, and then I switched to guitar because we found a bassist, and yeah, it was a debacle. The first, second, the first guitarist in that band was Chris, who ended up being in Power Glove later on. So that was a fun thing. But
I didn't know you were involved with Chris. A good dude.
Yeah, good dude. He certainly is. We were roommates for quite a while, and that was a time.
Massachusetts or New England metal community is not as large as we make it seem.
Yeah, it's completely incestuous.
It's a masked orgy, is what it is.
It really is.
Everybody went to school together. Everybody's in everybody else's band.
Yep.
And the drummers obviously have five or six projects all the time. So, at some point, that project, I don't know if it stopped or, you just decided to do something else as well?
Both the our guitarist and bassist / vocalist were going to school at Bard in New York, and they didn't want to come back out here anymore. And they started a new band that was, total death / black metal called Kane, or Christ Aborted Nativity.
Oh, of course.
Oh, man.
I wish there was a visual, because you thrust it down. You did, a Mooney.
It was so ridiculous, because they were like, we're playing death metal for a school full of hippies, and they love it.
If only the pro-life movement was around, 2,000 years ago,
Yeah, if only. God. Those were in the good old days.
Their debut album was called If You Set Yourself on Fire, The World Will Pay to Watch You Burn.
That's true.
Boy, I feel bad for that CD label guy. How's he going to fit that on a...
It was difficult. Their vocalist did all the designing himself, and it was...
Thank you.
It was kind of horrific, but that's what it is, really.
Does anybody ever look back at previous bands and go, yep, that was fucking awesome, that was fucking awesome, that was fucking... There's usually one or two projects you kind of like, all right, it was a fun time, but...
I'm not listening to it ever again.
Yes, I listen to cringeworthy. You know what I mean?
I don't care how
bands that I ever had. There is at least one recording I'd like to listen to at any given moment.
Yeah, I don't care how bad or shitty any of my previous things were. I listen to my own music more than anybody else ever.
I'd rather hear that than someone say, I never hear the album. It's like bullshit. You tell me you didn't listen to that album 400 times in your car while you're driving.
Yeah,
I play Putrid Crown and fucking casketless enough to where I never ever listen to those CDs ever.
Well, you mean during the
when I hear those
phase?
CDs, I'm like, holy shit! When you're making the CD,
okay, yeah.
But after that, never.
So that's occasionally
I listen to it in my car when it first comes out, just to hear it, and then I'm like, okay, I'm gonna hear the song probably fucking 8 times this week, so I'm not gonna listen to it in my fucking car. I'm gonna listen to fucking Felger and Maz.
Or if somebody gives you the set list, we're going to do these songs on the next show, you're like, oh, fuck. So you actually have to listen.
Nope.
You just know your shit at that point.
It's autopilot for me.
Oh, no shit. Yeah. Okay.
I would definitely rather listen to Despite the Sun than Felger and Maz at this point.
I definitely like a full package.
I definitely like that the hour and a half that I listened to it or watched it or napped while I was in the background today. All they talked about was how moving Jackie Bradley Jr. ruined the hitting streak, and I love it that they've spread that out for an hour and a half.
I saw that post morning on the Sports Hub Facebook page, and I almost had an aneurysm.
Everyone I've heard talk about Jackie Bradley Jr. is just like, man, that was really awesome. It stinks that it ends, but, it's awesome that he had that this year.
What that show did today.
Oh, man, that's terrible if they were ribbing on that. You know who deserved it? Fucking Betty Buchholz.
Yeah.
fuck that guy.
They moved him to the bullpen.
I know. I heard. Yeah. I'm excited for that. That's a good move.
And that's your Sports Minute, everyone.
Hot take.
What are we waiting for?
Every time on the dime. Not always at the right time, but there's usually 60 seconds where I'm staring into space.
This is Andrew Boyd.
I'm like, oh.
Channel 76 Action News.
Do I have to cut my grass tomorrow, or should I do the laundry? That's pretty much what's going through my head during the whole Sports Minute.
That's why I ended it for you, because you might black out.
that's the trouble.
I was done there.
Well, then I don't enjoy sports. I just don't follow.
Yeah, no one making fun of you. It's cool.
You should.
Wrestling and Metal Podcast. You're in the majority.
That's what this is.
Scott, so Dreaded Silence came about. Were you there from the get-go? A boo?
No. Ken and Mike, our vocalist and other guitarists, respectively, started the band in 99 when they were both going to UMass Dartmouth. I joined in 2003, so I've been in the band for almost 14 years now. And
that's just as old as that Rory watch downstairs earlier.
It's it's ridiculous. So that's why I had so few projects, because I've been in DS for so long. But before I was in the band, they had a drum machine. They played one show with a drum machine. So we kind of figure when I joined the band to be actually when the band really started being a band, as opposed to having drummy.
Boy, drum machines are interesting. You want to put out the full length on one? Fine. But boy, the whole live deal.
It was horrific.
It kind of throws off the whole.
I've seen two people do it well. No, three. I take that back.
Putrid Pile?
Yeah, that was where I was going with that. Blood soaked.
But it's just him, though.
Yeah.
So, but like to have like a half band, so was it just like guitarist, bass, singer, the drum machine?
It was two guitarists, bass, vocals, and drum machine. And the name was actually Drummy. They named the drum machine, so it would feel more like a member of the band. What a pile of shit.
Crossdresser's dog was a part of the band. Kane.
Adam, the package, and Adam and his package was just a sequencer.
Yeah, well, was a sequencer, yeah.
Well, yeah, except the last show that I saw, he was playing a Walkman, so a Discman.
Yes, yeah. So,
which would probably be the way to go. It's probably easier.
Talkboy?
Still want to record an entire album on a Talkboy.
I bet those are probably $300 on eBay now.
I want to get one of those.
There's so many of them.
I want to get one of those old-timey elementary school like recorder things that were in like the principal's office.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Note to self.
Yeah. John, give me a live eBay
note
update
to self. Here. Sex to with blow-up doll, not as good as real thing.
It looks like that's what you're Googling by now.
Get wart cream for giant wart on my ass.
I'm guessing the talk boy. I'm going to guess $22.
That's probably fair.
Somewhere in that ballpark, 22 to 25. Dreaded Silence. So 14 years, like
something like that. It's ridiculous.
I mean, we've been doing drive-by for 10 what? For like about 10, but 14 years.
You got one for 15.
Okay, 15.
But most of them are one for five. Most of them are in the 30s and 40s.
Oh, you could totally do an album on that.
VTG Deluxe Talkboy cassette player tape recorder. Home Alone 2. $39.99 plus $6.80 fucking shipping.
Used or new?
Yeah.
There's probably some new ones on there somewhere.
It has the tape, too. The original Talkboy tape.
Wow. Boy, I'm so glad they included that.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
15 or best offer, though, for a Talkboy is what I'm seeing, though.
Yeah, there's a pink one.
So, Dreaded Silence. 14 years. You don't have to run through every demo and EP and stuff, but have you've done one full length in 14 years? I'm not trying to be critical, but I'm just trying to figure out why.
We are completely willing to say that we move at a glacial pace. It's hilarious. So we have it's really hilarious when you think about it. We've got basically four EPs in a full length. One of which was acoustic, just to kind of get something out there. Yeah, so.
Well, like EPs, I mean, like, we talking like two or three tracks? Or are we talking like
six?
Five, yeah. Six
there about.
So it's
yeah.
not like you were just sitting on your ass, not putting anything out.
Yeah, quite true. Yeah, two of them are about six tracks, one four, and one was more of like a demo-ish sort of thing, but that was three tracks. Right. And then there's the acoustic thing, and which was its own animal. Our vocalist was getting married, and we were setting up to do an acoustic set, and we were like, hey, we should actually do this and make a recording of it. So that was that. And then we finally got started on the full length, which...
That came out this year, right?
2016? It came out February 29th because we wanted to pick an interesting day. We literally decided that morning to release it because... reasons.
Call it a day. Let's do this.
That's basically what happened. It was like, all right, got the artwork finished. Let's put it up on Bandcamp and do it up. And
then the blogs stole it. No, I'm just kidding. That just happened with us.
It's completely true, but in a way, I'm completely fine with it because at least somebody's listening to it, you know.
The trouble with Bandcamp, we've been through that. And you upload the album, and boy, you know there's somebody in.
I can't believe that happened to us.
That's. That's the weird part. Like, you, somebody took the time. I don't know if it, if they have software that does it or if they actually, like, legit just recorded it.
There's a plugin for both Chrome and Firefox that will record stuff straight off of Bandcamp.
That's, okay, that adds up.
It certainly does. The hilarious part about that is our acoustic EP we put out on Bandcamp completely free, and people still pirated it.
Of course.
Instead it's just of, like, dude, you can go to our thing and get it for free.
Sure, you're going to give an email address or whatever.
You know, at least then, like, you can get it in FLAC or Wave or whatever the fuck you want instead of getting some shitty 192K.
That was the other thing I hated about it. The rip was shitty. It's like,
if you're going to steal it, steal
the good stuff.
Have you ever seen Multiplicity?
Yeah.
Once you make a copy of a copy, it's never as good as the original.
It's not the same way with the digital, eh?
Yeah.
Got the Kramer of bootlegging, you know? Like, you know, it's just...
Hey, Jerry.
Is that your Kramer impression?
That is as good as I can do.
Yeah, try that again that later.
This is my fifth beer, so I mean...
It should be better.
That never makes your impressions bad.
So, like, all right.
Go back to the drawing board. That's what I'm saying.
The last...
Your Kramer lacks...
Vestige of Hope.
The last vestige of hope.
Vestige,
yeah.
All right. I was trying to be fancy. I was way off, though.
It's the last vestige of hope.
Vestige of Hope.
What the fuck is going on right now?
Maybe monsieur would like the hot dog cheeseburger.
Scott is the guitarist.
That was a good no-holds-barred waiter impression. Fuck you.
Do a cartwheel.
A boot it. So,
sorry.
So you put out the album February 29th, obviously, yep. I know you're doing with that, but like, as a guitarist, what was the most challenging part about that album?
There's
gonna be something that stands out as, oh man, that sucked.
About halfway through recording, my parts, well, I developed shoulder tendonitis in my left shoulder, which made it pretty much impossible to track more than one take at a time before I was in excruciating pain. So I basically had to take a good year in between getting half of the album done. And so that really sucked. But really, at the end of the day, it was just about trying to step up my game. Because I've always thought of myself as a really shitty guitarist. And by the end of recording this album, I did not feel like a shitty guitarist. So yay for me. But I mean, that was really, and actually it wasn't as much about being a guitarist. It was just about kind of overseeing the album. And we each kind of took a part in that, like, arranging, not necessarily mixing, but just kind of figuring out everything all together. Really was a cohesive band experience putting it together. And we demoed the whole thing out with program drums and everything first, like to the T, harmonies, like everything set up. So we kind of had an idea of what we were going for. But doing it in itself was just another experience altogether.
Did you know, I don't know too much about Dreaded Silence, and I see you on Ralph's flyers all the time, and I'm sure you guys have played a ton of shows, but can you speak to, or this is our generic question, we always ask this one, one of your best shows as Dreaded Silence, and then perhaps one of your worst?
Off the top of my head, best show, probably. We opened up for Catatonia twice in New Hampshire at Mark's Showplace. Oh, God, what a pile.
Oh, yeah.
I loved shows at Mark's Showplace.
I did, too.
I never went to the Titty Bar ever.
No, but even though I got blacklisted from ever playing there after Sonata Arctica.
The rock band, right? But, like, no, but there's a difference between playing Mark's Showplace and just going to shows at Mark's Showplace.
Well,
right?
Also, I figured out how to get into every show for free.
Show up for the headliner.
Show up right before the headliner because they cash the merch box out and they want you to buy beers, so they just let you in.
Terrible. I mean, good. That's great.
It's great if you want to hang out and want to do something else that isn't that show on a Saturday night. It's 10 minutes from your house and, like, I'm going to leave for a little while and go see Cryptopsy and come back.
Oh, shit. This just came back to me. So, like, you remember the Dying Fetus show in Lowell? The one we did a couple weeks ago? Same thing. Sarah and I actually bought tickets. We showed up right before Fetus because... I don't know. It was right during a Casey strain. Get to the door. He's like, wow, you guys are showing up late. I'm like, it's like two or three bands left. It's like, nah, you guys just go upstairs. I'm like, you didn't even check our tickets or anything. None of that shit.
Was it full there?
75%.
That's not bad.
Where was it?
The Mill City Ballroom in Lowell.
Okay, yeah, I know.
They're trying to do more shows there.
It's a weird room for it.
Very okay sound, weird room. It's good to have something in Lowell.
Yeah.
But it's a nightclub.
Yeah,
so
I know what you're talking. I know where it is.
10 o'clock cutoff. We need to get the hookers and the blow in there at 10:45 for the DJ at 11. So Dying Fetus got a 25-minute set.
Wow!
Ooh, fuck
Ooh,
that.
That is awful.
They got fucked.
Yeah. That's like 2001 Metal Fest set time.
Again, you know how it is, and they were at. Everything I saw was like, there's no stage manager. Nobody's fucking managing these set times, and they did the same exact bullshit to Suffocation. The night after it, the whole tour package got like 10 or 15 minutes cut off each of their sets.
I heard about that, yeah.
They threw 10 or 15 locals on there, have them start at 11 a.m., which is bullshit.
That's the worst idea ever. Why would people ever... What is this?
Not to that extreme, but they used to do the same shit on the weekend at Avalon back in the day. I had seen 2000...
Avalon in Boston?
Yeah.
Okay.
2001, I think, shortly after September 11th, I saw Megadeth and...
Endo.
I forget. Oh God, an Endo.
Yep, I was at that show.
I yelled Slayer at them from like I was right in front of the
show.
Yeah, right in front of the stage because I was so bored and the guy was doing all this like fucking weird dancey shit. It was horrific. So I just like right in front of the stage just yelled Slayer at them until the guy got visibly annoyed and actually told me off.
Do you remember how they ended their set?
No, thank God.
They all just detuned every string on their guitars and basses, and then they just walked off stage. I was just like, you...
I kind of like them more now.
You are fucking terrible.
It was better when Peter Steele
did it.
That was
a heel move.
Really.
I like that.
They got fucking a Conway pop. I remember that.
Oh, God.
Megadeth, I was right up front for, and that was a fucking awesome
time. I started
off
up front.
That was Austin winning the title at 17.
Oh, boy.
I started off up front, and then somebody elbowed me in the throat, and my friends had to drag me out of there. That was a fun time. But, yeah, they ended the show pretty early because they had the dance club upstairs, and they were like, oh, got a
break. See, I love that shit. Dude, get me home for 11. Let's do this. They did that.
Perfectly okay with an early show. Matinees are glorious.
It's not quite a matinee. Weekend Nacho started at 6 and was done at 10.
Perfect.
I'm fine with a matinee show as long as you fucking give the headliner and the supporting acts enough time.
Exactly.
Well managed. We were drinking wine with the Fetus guys right after, and like, I know we just blew their gimmick, but they were just like, oh, that's bullshit. 25-minute set. Like, they didn't even care. Obviously, at that point, they're like, whatever, we'll just go to the next tour day. But they're like,
we get paid.
Yeah.
We get our guarantee. We get our wine. We call it a day. But it's for like those hardcore Dying Fetus fans who like fucking left work early and busted ass, hauled ass to go see Fetus at Lowell. They get 20 minutes. Like,
I just imagine Dying Fetus now as just being three Kevin Nashes.
Broken knees and all.
Yeah, right.
Because of the wine.
Rat-a-tat-tat. Yeah.
Do they do the hair flip and everything?
Oh, God. So... we'll move it along. So if your best show was Catatonia and Mark's show place, you got to have a show that stands out. And again, you want to dump on promoters or whatever, that's fine. But like,
I'll dump on anyone. I'm into that stuff.
I could throw one out for you too. If you can't recall one, I would say Harper's Ferry, maybe 2005.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Yeah,
but not the worst.
Well, I'm an idiot. I didn't know you knew Scott before this, so I'm just dumb.
Yeah, we
sorry.
Long ass time ago.
I introduced. I'm like, Curtis, this is.
We
Scott.
Played He's shows
like,
together
yeah,
back in the day.
I've known him for 11 years. Thanks, Brian.
Back in the 3HM days.
Yeah, yeah. He remembers. You know.
I remember.
We played a few terrible shows together.
I remember all of our shows. I have like this stupid memory with shows and like set lists, the whole nine.
So Harper's Ferry, right?
Yeah, that was a bad one, but
I had
the
a concussion
worst
on that show. Yeah,
huh? I don't think I ever caught that. The worst, however, was probably we played this awful place in maybe Nashua called Mogies. It was like this little shitty dive bar.
What
Sharkies?
What year?
Let's see, 2004, 2005.
I don't think that was Nashua. Yeah.
It was somewhere, or maybe Hudson. I don't know, somewhere up in that area. It was definitely in that area, but
I don't even know that place.
It was this little shitty bar, and our vocalist had, at that point, decided he was no longer going to play bass, but we haven't found a bassist. My friend Nate, who was the guitarist in Despite the Sun, decided, oh, I'll just improv bass lines on Ken's bass. Ken's a lefty, so he was improvising bass lines on a left-handed bass, despite the fact that he's right-handed. Now, Nate is an insane, incredible guitarist that does all sorts of weird shit, but a improv upside-down bassist, he is not. And there was on top
it's a tall order though, you know, when you think about it.
It was really bad. On top of that, one of the bands we played with was called Spritzvera, and the drummer kept hitting on one of our girlfriends the whole night, and we almost got into a brawl over it because he was just like drunk as shit and just getting handsy and stuff. And any show that has that stuff going on instantaneously brings things into a bad direction.
It all just piles on top of each other. Like, what are we doing here? Right?
It does indeed. Just to add really quick to the best shows list, playing with Woods of Ypres at Ralph's. That was a night and a half, especially because David Gold kept saying Worcester the whole time, and people just kept saying, it's Worcester. And he's just like, hey, Worcester! And so good.
This year, Summer Slaughter tour flyer says Worcester. Some intern didn't give a fuck.
Brings
that
me
lineup
back.
Looks really good.
I'm fine with that.
I'm
Suffocation,
gonna go.
Nile.
Cannibal Corpse is headlining.
Cannibal Corpse.
Revocation.
That's all
Christian.
You need. Good to go. Yeah, Christian's on that. Yeah, perfect. Thank you. That's all you need. That's a Summer Slaughter
it's
tour.
Not like tons of gent this year, so it's palatable.
Just put Revocation on, I'm good.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, you know, put them on in a basement. All right, that's cool.
Scott, if you could book a tour package with Dreaded Silence and two other bands and they had to do it, what bands would you like to be on that tour package?
Oh, Christ.
It's that weird influence question.
I would say it's probably Catatonia and Porcupine Tree. I would say Opeth, but they're so weird. Like, they can't decide about the prog or
jazz.
Yeah, or, you know, it really should be the Michael Ackerfeld show at this point, but you know, I mean,
this
bands
is our
can
sports minute, John, by the way.
It's fine.
Bands can change styles and shit. You know, I'm cool with that. But when you have such a radical change after having a style for so long, see Megadeth, Risk in 1999, you know, you should really put stuff out, you know, under a different thing. If you're going to go off in that different direction, my opinion, obviously. But so, yeah, probably Catatonia and Porcupine Tree. I would have said Riverside, but their guitarist died a couple months ago, which really bummed me out.
That really hinders the touring, too.
Yeah, you know, just a bit. Yeah, so I'd say that, or if, you know, Sentenced, the guitarist was alive and could tour. So Fantasy Tour, then probably Sentenced to Catatonia in that case. But hey, Catatonia is the tie that binds in this situation, which is why we opened for them twice. And the only two times we did the stupid ass pay to play thing, but it was Mark's show place, and we were young and dumb. So
we wanted that there, opportunity.
And full of enthusiasm.
We're looking for some real go-getters.
I remember a stripper there pulled my hair one time, and that was the best thing ever.
I thought you were going in a bad tone with that. Like, oh, a stripper just grabbed me one time.
No. I was like, oh, this is fucking awesome.
The
I love
tone of your voice was going downward. I'm like, oh, why is it? Oh, no, it's great. This is awesome. No.
See, I think there's a communication error with me and the entire world. So, you know, I'm used to it.
So that Catatonia show must have been really awesome. I didn't even know that. I figured just because it was your best show, I didn't consider them to be one of your huge influences.
Oh, yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah, really big. And The second show in particular, my dad went with me, and my dad raised me on metal and hard rock. He was into Zeppelin and Hendrix and Sabbath, and then as we got into the 80s, he was we would spend hours up at Rocket Records in Saugus, and they had all sorts of import shit, and he would just go through and pick out records without knowing what it was, just like, oh, this cover is interesting. So you'd come home with Pantera, like old ass, like Projects in the Jungle, fucking Pantera and Slayer.
You hear a lot of stories about that from older people.
Yeah.
Like older bands and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, Integrity found a septic deck. Tweet from Integrity found a Septic Death record and like, this looks cool, I'm gonna buy it. It's like his favorite band now. Like, I don't know. Like, stories like that are cool.
Yeah, Rocket Records was the shit. Once I got old enough to know what I was doing, I would go and order all my imports from there, which was pretty awesome. But so my dad went with me to this show, and before I was born, my dad like played guitar and sang and like had these like legendary shows, one of which he like punched Rod Stewart out at, apparently. Rod Stewart, it was like when he was touring with
the apparently in there.
From
a legal standpoint,
I've heard it from like,
allegedly.
I've heard it from multiple of my uncles, and that like they were backstage. I think it was like when he was with like the Small Faces or whatever, and my dad had this shirt on that apparently was cool, and Rod Stewart was like, give me your shirt, like I want to wear your shirt on stage. My dad was like, fuck off, I'm not giving you my shirt. And Rod Stewart was totally playing the rock star card, so my dad just socked him in the face. Pretty bitching. But I never knew that guy. Like, that guy, once I was a kid, like, he didn't really exist. Just, like, polo shirts and watched golf all the time. You know, so, like, when I heard music, like, that was the only connection with that guy I had. So my dad goes with me to this Catatonia show, and Daylight Dies was on. My dad was right up front, like, right on the barrier, and I was just like, this is the coolest fucking thing I've ever seen. My dad rocking out to Daylight Dies. Like, that's bitching, man.
Your dad knocked out.
I'm just imagining my dad rocking out to some of the shit that I'm into, being like, Christopher, I like this Necrophagus band. They're really good.
The hilarious thing is,
that putrid pile.
My dad did
I've never met your dad. I just assumed that's what he sounded like.
He speaks exactly like me.
Oh, really?
Yep.
It's my dad totally did.
Must be high all the time.
You understand that.
Yeah, when I was a teenager, my dad did the same, like, what is this noise you're listening to shit that I'm sure his parents did with him.
Right.
You know, which was hilarious because I was like, Dad, when I was, you know, like 7, we were going up to my uncle's house and you played Appetite on repeat the whole time, and it was like 2 hours both ways, and my mom was like, why are you playing this stuff with swears?
Yeah, right.
And you know,
this is the news.
Exactly. So my dad giving me shit about it was hilarious, but yeah, it was really one of the coolest moments of my life, seeing him just like playing in front of this huge crowd, like sold out. Granted, it's Mark sold out, but
yeah,
still, no, it's, sold it's out still crowd. A, you know,
standing room only is standing room only.
Exactly. So that take that it was pretty cool.
There's an ass every 14 inches.
Yeah, right.
Dude, I would say that's nothing to shake a stick at. I've been there. We opened for Sonata Arctica. It's one of my better shows. Was there. So even though it was pay to play, and that can go suck my dick.
Ridiculous.
What's coming up with Dreaded Silence? I mean, you could if you don't have anything coming up, that's fine, but you can at least plug the album. And
yeah, I mean, album's out, dreadedsilence.bandcamp.com. You know, it's up there. I think it's like $6 or pay whatever you want above that if you feel like being generous, 6 or 7,
sure,
something. But unfortunately, our drummer is moving this summer to Orlando, so we're kind of in a state of flux right now. Of course, if any of you out there are interested for drumming for the Dreaded Silence, feel free to email us at ds@dreadedsilence.com. Hey, now. But
that was good. I like the voice.
Very professional. You brought in your own announcer, too.
Yes, exactly. You got to get the announcer voice in there.
Coming this summer, Dreaded Silence.
I totally did that on one of my voicemails at one point. My mom was super pissed because I was just like, hi, you've reached Scott Green. I'm not here right now, but return my, you know, like.
Yeah, right,
and she
right.
was just like, what the fuck are you doing? Why do you have that? It's so unprofessional. And I was like,
what are you gonna do about
it? I'm not professional. So what does it matter?
So you gotta do what I do and don't even ever set up your voicemail account.
Full.
No, it's not full. It's not set up. If you're full, you look like a drug addict.
There's this
the Adam Carolla line
or
there.
Or you're at a job where you don't want to talk to anybody ever, so you let your voicemail just fill up and you never listen to
them. That's why I have no voicemail. They can't leave voicemails. Like, this user's mailbox is not connected or whatever. It's not full. I don't want to answer. I don't want to listen to voicemails.
I would never want to either.
Yeah. You're sure an Android man, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Do you get the visual voicemail?
I got a notice for that, and I'm just like, I don't want this.
Oh yeah, we talked about this.
I'm with John. I don't want voicemails. If you leave me a message, you're probably not going to get in touch with me.
No, it converts the voicemail to a text message, pretty much.
Yeah.
That's what beautiful.
You
want.
You read.
That's beautiful.
Instead of hitting play and like, no, it automatically converts it to text. So
that is wonderful.
You could also do a similar thing with Google Voice if you have it set up. But
Same idea.
I'm too lazy. So yeah, it totally sends you an email with it, but then again, you have to use your Google Voice number and some other bullshit. I have no idea.
Let's switch gears to headlines, and then we'll take a break in a little bit and get out of the sauna.
It's not that bad in here.
No, you guys are right.
It's a bit of nice.
A little toasty. All right, we're not there yet. We're not soaked.
Maybe
we're getting there.
We're wet.
We're a little wet. Just a little wet.
Hi-oh.
Chris, this one's up your department. Megadeth drummer passing away. Nick Menza.
Yeah, that sucks up.
I know that was weeks ago, but we're catching up.
The cool thing is that he died playing drums. He died on stage. And I don't think there's a better way to go in the world.
You know, that's their second drummer in a row to die of heart disease.
Yeah. Well, they had a drummer between Gar Samuelson and Nick Menza.
Oh, I meant Ohm.
Oh, Ohm. Their drummer
right before Menza also died of a heart attack.
Damn it.
Chris Poland has drummers,
Chris
man.
Poland's band, too. That's the coolest thing ever.
Nick was on, correct me if I'm wrong, he was on Rust. He was on Countdown, Euthanasia, and I think Cryptic Warning, right?
Yes. Cryptic Writings.
And Risk.
And most of the stuff on band. Hidden Treasures as well.
Yeah, Hidden Treasure. Is Hidden Treasure like a greatest hits compilation?
It was a B-sides compilation, really.
It was like soundtrack stuff.
Yeah, it was like soundtracks from movies and shit.
Yeah.
So he had a good run there.
99 Ways to Die. Probably one of the better Megadeth songs.
And Diadems. Oh, shit. I love that song.
That's a good song, too, yeah. Enjoyable.
Actually, Despite the Sun's first name was Diadems, because we were obsessed with Megadeth. I've been obsessed with Megadeth forever. I was like a moderator on their forums for like 5 years and shit. It's crazy.
You're not really a big fan.
I wouldn't know any of the people I know really without being on the Megadeth forums. It's crazy. I was thinking about that the other day. But anyways, I digress.
No, that was perfectly on topic. It was about Megadeth.
But yeah, I that sucks. I think everyone was holding out for Nick Menza and Marty Friedman to come back.
Oh, definitely.
And there was always sort of like that, like, they're going to do it this year, blah, blah, blah. And now it like can never happen.
So you guys...
It's like the Ghostbusters of metal.
You guys really follow... You keep track of Megadeth, more or less.
At this point, it seems like
it's been a Dave and company.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
At least since...
It seems so many lineup changes.
And since Dave...
To me, at least.
Ellison came back.
Since Dave's surgery in 2003, it's definitely been that, or 2002, something like that. After World Needs a Hero, he had, like... I forget what it's called. Some sort of fucked up nerve injury in his elbow.
He slept on his arm wrong.
At rehab, apparently.
The real Clay Buchholz kind of guy, right?
He slept with his arm over the back of a chair. It's called Saturday Night Palsy. That's what it is that he had. So he had to like relearn to play guitar completely, but...
And he plays exactly the same now.
Exactly,
as he did
back
then. That's the funniest part to me.
You didn't like relearn or do new tricks or new methods.
No, it's the same. It's the same exact shit.
He learned enough to do a really, really shitty concert where he played Vivaldi poorly and stuff last year. Oh god, it was so awful.
That was the worst thing ever.
Horrific.
Yeah.
But he. The System Has Failed was supposed to be a solo album, but at the last minute he said, well, it sounds like Megadeth, so it might as well be a Megadeth album. But
and he had awesome fucking people on that album too.
Oh yeah, Vinny Colaiuta on drums, holy shit. Poland did the guest solos.
I like it just for Poland.
Blackmail the Universe is easily my number one favorite Megadeth song post Cryptic Writings.
Damn, okay, you
That song is bitching.
That was gonna be a bold statement.
I'm partial to the Broderick stuff.
Broderick stuff's pretty cool. Endgame.
Boy, Endgame's really this is a lot of Megadeth right now.
John is dying right now. He is warm and listening to us talk about Megadeth.
I'm going
to
feed you, baby boy.
I know you will. There's plenty for me. There's plenty for me to eat.
We're getting our shit in. We're getting our shit in. And then we're going to fucking, you're going to get some heat and you'll be fucking, and we're going to go home.
We'll get to the hot tag eventually.
We'll get some room service. Don't worry.
All right. It's a month old. It's settled. Misfits reunion.
How do I feel about it?
No Vampiro, no
care. We give you a month to like breathe, kind of like think about it.
Oh, how I feel about it?
Now.
It's not what I want. That doesn't mean that I didn't go online and see exactly how much it would cost for me to do it. It would have been about $600 before I paid for anything in Chicago. Oh. Not worth it. Because what I want them to tour so I'm not seeing them at a festival. In my head, the Misfits are 1984 and people are running off of a stage. I know I'm never going to get that, but something better than a giant outdoor venue.
Now, could you imagine just a dickhead Misfits show at Welfare Records? Some bullshit like that.
Oh, God, that's exactly what I dream of.
Yes.
But no, it'll never happen because Glenn Danzig's a fucking dink. But I don't... They're going to make a lot of money.
So I think, I mean,
they have a lot of money to be made right now.
I was going to say, divide your life by fucking two and then talk to me about this Misfits reunion now.
Divide my life by two?
Yeah, cut your life in half.
Cut my life into pieces?
So this is your last resort. You're fucking 16 again. The Misfits are getting back together and fucking touring.
Chicago?
Yeah.
Same.
No, I'm definitely not making
war
it to
situation.
Chicago for that.
Or situation.
Now I have the means.
Or like they're playing a show again. You know what I mean?
So I'll go see him play a show.
I see Chicago as a little tip in the pool. Like you're getting
Coachella,
the
Guns N' Roses. That's the way I look at it.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, I still looked at it. If the festival was here, obviously I'd go, but I don't know.
That's what I mean. Like if it was like close by and you were a younger kid.
I think that's where they're going with this.
Yeah.
They're going to see how this works.
It's a nostalgia thing.
See the payday and go, oh, okay.
There's
total. We can do 10
there's
US
money
dates.
To be made.
Oh, definitely.
I saw Danzig and fucking Doyle in 2005. And, you know, that for me was good enough.
Roxy?
Yeah. That would satisfy me, too.
Was that the tour where they played with Trivium and Cataclysm?
Cataclysm, yep.
Yeah. Some chick projectile vomited off of the balcony there. It was hilarious.
But I was too busy like freaking out to like we are 138 the
oh,
whole
yes.
time.
We saw I saw fake Axl Rose's guns fake Guns N' Roses with Buckethead and shit, and I was satisfied with that. I don't give a shit that
Buckethead is a way better guitar player than Slash.
Yeah, and he's cooler too. Yeah.
I will go against the grain and say I don't hate Chinese Democracy.
Oh, you're wrong about that.
Ooh. If you don't if you don't look at it as a Guns N' Roses album, if you say this is
a perfectly valid argument for Chinese Democracy, but when I say it for Saint Anger, I'm the fucking joke.
I would if I heard Saint Anger done by fucking, you know, Captain Geach and the Shrimp Shack Shooters, I would still say this fucking shit sucks.
This is a fart-sucking segment on this show right now.
Sucking farts.
Dude, they can suck my fucking farts all night long.
You suck my farts all night long! It was more syllables than I thought it was at first.
This is your audition.
And the you guys probably don't give a shit category, but Metalocalypse is not getting a new season.
Yeah, we talked about this.
We talked about it. That was the rumor. And then...
it was confirmed. They
James Hetfield wrote a letter to Hulu.
Yeah. I don't know why they're not picking it up for one more. Just call it a day. There's an interest there. People will pay for that. Or people
it's not going to happen right now. I think it could happen later on down the line.
Well, I think Brendan Small just like pretty much said, no, it's done. Like, there's no money. No money.
Yeah, that's what fucking Mike Judge said about fucking Beavis and Butthead.
And we got one season, and then MTV probably canceled that, too.
Exactly. And that was the plan the whole time, I think.
God, the reboot was awesome.
I know. Fucking vampires when they got fucking diseased. Ah, so good.
I could see why like you went in like hesitant. Like, ooh.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did.
Hesitant.
Not for Beavis and Butthead.
But you forgot about what you were hesitant about 2 minutes in.
Like, no, I was
all in. Oh, they nailed it right away.
All in. I was all in. I didn't give a fuck.
Unfortunately, Mike Judge never got a signature guitar. Unlike, is it crazy to anybody else that somebody behind a cartoon has a signature guitar?
No, I think that's awesome.
A fair point. Granted, it is a bitchin' ass explorer, but yeah, that's another thing entirely.
John, I'm going to feed this to you and let baby boy.
Give me one.
I Hate God Discharge Tour.
Yeah, let's talk about the I Hate God Discharge Tour.
This came out today. Today is Friday, May 27th. Apparently, there are visa issues. That's what I've read online.
This is still very new news.
New news.
I found out about this.
New news.
So by the time you listen to it on Monday, it's Memorial Day. Maybe it's 3 days later and we know everything that's happened. But
the long story short is I don't get to go see Discharge on Sunday.
Yes.
And I'm not happy about it for a couple of reasons.
Maryland Death Fest, same idea.
They're
on that. They're part of Maryland Death Fest and they haven't been communicating to the promoters of Maryland Death Fest. They're like, what's going on? And they're not saying shit. So that's leading me to them not being a visa issue. And maybe I'll be wrong by Monday. But if it was a visa issue, the promoter or the tour agent would be like, visa issue, fucking pointing 1,200 fingers, visa issue. But if they're being quiet, so I'm thinking something else.
Yeah, it's probably true.
They like to point at the government or point at the UK visa fucking department or whatever the fuck, whoever does visas. They always point that finger immediately. You'll see it all over social media. But that sucks, John. I know you were looking forward to that.
Yeah. No, I was. I mean, I still got the Bruisers on Saturday. But
oh, you're still going to that. That's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you went to that. It was great.
I did go to it. It was pretty good.
Good. One more headline. I'm going to take our break. I just read this. The average Spotify employee has a salary of $168,000.
Ooh,
yeah.
So you get bands who are getting pennies of a penny of a penny for full-length albums, and then you've got marketing guys, and you get IT dudes who are making well into the 150, 160.
Those are the dudes who are making sure you can listen to fucking whatever song you want to listen to at any point in time.
And this is why I keep my MP3 collection in separate folders and listen to it through FUBAR only. Because
I use Spotify, but that sucks.
Are they still putting out updates for FUBAR?
Fuck if I know. I just like what I have. Kind of old school in that way.
You're comfortable.
Yeah, I have my own like little custom like layout for it, and I stick with that.
I need something better.
To be fair, I was going to say, Spotify subscriptions probably only count for a portion of their revenue. I know they make a killing on ad revenue.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's where the salaries are coming from. As a musician, at one point, it's like, I wish musicians were getting compensated better. But at the same time, I realize that the revenue is probably not coming from the people who are paying to listen to the music most of the time.
It's from
the people who pay to interrupt you listening to the music. That's why they're making so much money. So don't get too bummed out.
No. I think at the end of the day, it's going to end up being an excuse for all of the other services to give bands less money. And at the end of the day, nobody's going to make anything.
Did you guys read about Apple Music?
No.
What they're doing? I've read a couple of reports on this. If you sign up for Apple Music and say you got fucking 10 or 12, 100 albums on your app, computer, whatever. Apple Music reads your library, and if it sees that albums are already on Apple Music, it's removing them physically from your hard drive. Not like physically. It's like, we see the new fucking Blind Guardian album.
What if it gets taken off of Apple Music?
Exactly.
Jackpot.
That server broke.
And then, so they have a control of the media. They have control of what they want you to listen to. Oh, if the Blind Guardian album's not there, oh, sorry. Just like Netflix, at some point, they take movies up and take them down, and then you don't have access.
Goddamn libertarians!
Well, that's a reason I'll never get that service.
So somebody showed screenshots and everything, like, all these albums are gone. Absolutely wiped out. Not the full discography. I mean, if there's like a fucking Roger Carroll Trustee album,
Yeah.
You know, obviously it's not going to be on Apple Music unless you guys upload it, but they're not going to remove that. But they are removing duplicates.
That is crazy.
Physically from your hard drive. That's the crazy part.
Like, it's good to free up space, but that should be at your own discretion.
Yeah, in seriousness, that's actually why I tend to just download things and keep them in folders. I don't bother with iTunes or this or that or the other thing. I manage my own library. That way, I have control over it. And I don't trust any of that shit. Yeah. It's like eventually Steam is going to get my ass on games and they're going to be like, well, we don't offer this game anymore, so fuck off.
That's what's going to happen.
At least Steam sales are prevalent and I got most of my shit off of bundles, so hooray.
Shots fired. Let's take a breather. Coming up, I'm going to take a quick sponsor break. I've had a bunch to drink. We're going to take a quick sponsor drink.
Yeah.
Is that better?
I like it. He's taking a sponsored drink right now.
Not gonna fix that. Better take a quick sponsor.
If you have a Sherlander and a Verser.
Boom.
After the break, we have a ton of pro wrestling to discuss. It's been a month and a half since we've covered headlines. So much has gone down. You've listened this long, you might as well stay to the end.
Make America slate again.
Where's my sponsor drink?
When this show wraps up and you're left craving, wanting, needing, desire more, kill some more productivity by visiting our bitchin' website, neckbreaker.net. You'll find exclusive episodes that you won't find in our free iTunes feed, including pay-per-view commentary and different drinking games. Plus, we have a merch store with shirts, hoodies, long sleeves, coffee mugs, fucking flags, anything you name it, we'll make it. Blankets! And spaghetti!
And crackers. Spaghetti.
Any purchases you make on our site go directly to covering our show costs to keep us moving forward. So visit neckbreaker.net and grab some swag, brah.
Buy the shirt! We get it. Cash is tight, so here's a few free ways that you can support Neckbreaker. First off, word of mouth is best. Tell people at bars, at your office, or your weird wrestling or metal friends that you're listening to the only wrestling and metal show on the planet. Subscribe to our show on iTunes and leave us a dumb review. All reviews, good and bad, help us move up the charts. So tell us what you think about specific episodes or the show in general. Or fuck off. And stay active on our social media accounts at NB Podcasts on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Join our discussions, share our shit, and tag us in your posts. Or not, you know, it gets annoying to get those notifications, so you can fuck off on that too. Your activity builds awareness for our show. Thanks a lot, and fuck off.
We're back here on Neckbreaker.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Thank you. Since we've covered the latest pro wrestling headlines, it's been at least a month and a half, I think, at this point, because we did our 85 episode. Or no, 95 episode.
95.
And then we... Did I talk to Colin from Soul Remnants? So yeah, at least a month and a half. So, let's get right to it. I've got a bunch of promotions and a bunch of headlines. A lot has gone on over the past month and a half. Let's go to the latest and greatest... brand split. Apparently, all the press releases and everything I've read online, as of July 19th, which is a Tuesday, the SmackDown show is the official, that's the official live date of when SmackDown goes live.
Yeah.
Which is at DCU, by the way.
Yeah, it's in Worcester.
Which I was like, oh, that's, if I can get $20 tickets, I might go to that.
Me too.
A mere cheap. 2 blocks from where I live, I can crawl down there.
Damn, you should go to that if you can get cheap tickets or whatever.
If I can make it there without dying.
2 blocks?
It is Worcester, after all.
2 brutal blocks in Worcester, right? Brand split. Chris, I know you posted something on social media. Was it Chris or John? Somebody?
I did not.
Okay.
It was me.
You were taking over the social media this week with the mock brand split.
I was excited for this, yes.
What are your thoughts where they're going with this?
I want them to play conservative. I want them to have 2 world titles, 1 per show, have the U.S. on SmackDown, IC on Raw, 2 tag titles, and I want the women's title on Raw, and I want the cruiserweight title after the CWC, which is rumored. If you go to the Squared Circle Reddit, you'll have seen the Beltmaker dude commented that he's been commissioned for a cruiserweight belt.
Milliken?
Not Milliken, it's the Orange County Choppers guy.
Ah.
Chuck Palumbo.
Yeah. Nice.
Hey, you get the Mankind.
Nice,
That was the Mankind for the episode. Excellent job.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
You're a gay guy and you're a biker. Welcome, you're Adrian Adonis now.
Jeez.
The blowaway diet.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Now, Chris, do you have... do you have bad memories of the previous split?
After a while, it got kind of watered down.
The SmackDown pay-per-views were brutal.
Mainly because, like, the reason they did the brand split is because...
The sponsor drink.
There you go. Is because they had so many people who were so good that they couldn't showcase everybody properly.
Right.
So they split everybody up. And it was really good for a while. Like, 2003, I remember in particular being probably the best year for it because you had four world champions in total. You had Lesnar, Angle on SmackDown, and then you had... Triple H and Goldberg on Raw. So that's a good dynamic. Maybe one or two a year. They brought back the IC title in May. They introduced the US title in July. They had it right. I feel like that was a winning formula. So I want them to go back to that. And
it
I'll
seemed
leave it
like once Heyman was gone that Vince was kind of trying to bury SmackDown after that too.
Kind of. Yeah, like because they had Kurt Angle as the GM for a little while, and that didn't do anything for me. So,
because you know he loves Raw more.
It was very obvious after a little while that Raw was the A show and SmackDown was the B show, especially after they got rid of Heat and Velocity. It was really obvious.
As with everything, Vince needs somebody to stand up to his bullshit. So once Heyman was gone... Bye-bye, SmackDown, really.
The filter, the Vince filter.
And maybe that's why, like, Vince should be in, like, only have say on Raw, and maybe, like, Triple H and Stephanie only have say on SmackDown. Maybe divide it up a little bit. Get something going.
Two writing teams is what they actually put in the fucking press release. It's weird that they would even throw that in there. You wouldn't expect that. But
I like the two rosters more than anything else, though, because now... The guys who don't get put, like, the reason why I kind of enjoyed this year's WrestleMania is because guys who wouldn't have been there otherwise got their chance. And I think that worked. Like, Ryder winning the IC title, just as an example, that was awesome. I thought that was the highlight of the show. So it'll be a good chance for guys to come up and
the highlight,
get popular.
The highlight for me was wanting to kill myself about 5 hours into it. That was pretty bitching.
I didn't even watch the main event. I was like, I peaced out and I watched Walking Dead after the cage match.
I wish I had done the same. It was brutal, man.
Dude, it was like 5 hours. I can't sit there for that long.
It's a decent amount of time.
That's too much for me. I got to stand up and move around and do something.
It's like getting there at doors for Metal Fest. Like, why?
Boy.
Why would you do that?
That's a long day.
For some reason, I did that once and never again. That was awful.
I'm going to pass it to you, John. Brand split.
How do I feel about it?
Yes, sir.
When the brand split was good, I wasn't really watching wrestling, honestly. I liked the idea. I liked the fact that it can be, if they're separate but equal.
That's exactly how I want it to be.
Good take.
And the way I kind of divided it up was like, even distribution of top talent, like seen on SmackDown, Lesnar on Raw is sort of like the main guys. And like, I wanted to go back to cruiserweights on SmackDown and the women's division on Raw. That works the best because they're kind of the niche genres where it's more like, it's popular amongst the wrestling fans.
Yeah.
So if you give the wrestling fans a reason to tune into each show, it's better for business. That's sort of my thing.
Well, they gotta try to get the diehards to watch, not the diehards, I guess, but other, more people to watch SmackDown.
Exactly, because I don't watch SmackDown. I haven't watched SmackDown
5 years, probably.
Orton and Christian was the last time I watched SmackDown, if you can remember that, 2011.
So it's on a Tuesday night, live. That's the important part, is live.
DVR, it's fine.
That's
Hulu. Well,
yeah, same thing with Raw, though, but the live aspect shows that they're actually kind of giving this a push or a try. If it was taped, if it was still a tape bullshit, the live show is the A show and the tape one is the B show.
Yeah, the only reason you're seeing this too is because USA has it now, and USA is like, we want this. We don't pay you double because of a 1.5 show.
Yeah, they don't want a B show
ratings. Yeah, no, exactly.
They want a Tuesday night that's got good ratings and good appeal.
It's better for everyone if WWE's just not American League and National League, you know, AFL, NFL, AFC, NFC, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have two divisions. It works better for everybody.
Exactly.
So then, what about house shows? Does that mean, is there a SmackDown house show and then a
Raw
house show?
That's how they did it last time.
Yeah, they already have A and B house shows anyways, even with the current brand.
You will get the B-Towns, yep.
Yeah, and so, I mean...
Back in the day, they called that the Macho shows and the Hogan shows.
Oh, man.
Back in, yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it was back in the day.
Macho.
Bret Hart always thanked Macho Man for all his payoffs.
Scott, what do you think about the brand split?
All right, so I alluded to this.
I know you took some notes.
I did take some notes. So if it were up to me, it'd be like this. One world champion between two shows. A Raw and a SmackDown champion. No B titles. And basically, the world champion would be one of the two. So at basically, the beginning, the Raw champion, the SmackDown champion would face each other, whoever wins, world champion. And basically, the roster would have one title to go towards on both sides, which sets up three really separate feuds for the titles at once. A guy going for the Raw championship, a guy going for the SmackDown championship, and a feud between the separate champions for each show. That sounds convoluted as shit, but I think it's the only way to make one world champion work, which really, at the end of the day, I think having two separate world champions defeats the purpose of having a world champion. So, I don't know.
Fair enough. That's what sports do.
And as you just said, like an AFC, NFC thing, but then there's a Super Bowl champion, exactly, which is one of the two. So it sets up an interesting dynamic where, like, say the world champion is also the Raw champion, that the SmackDown crew, like, not only are you going for the SmackDown championship, but you want to also go for the world championship to bring it back to SmackDown. So you make more money, like Spaceballs 2.
I like that, but the part where we separate is the Raw and SmackDown champions. I don't think that can work. That's why the IC title goes on one show, US goes on the other show.
Yeah.
I think that's a better way to do it, just because there's lineage. And not only that, but WWE tried to get rid of the Intercontinental title once, and it did not work. They had to bring it back.
Yeah, and the Raw and SmackDown champions is more of a placeholder. If you want to do US IC, like, completely fine with that. You know, mainly just an idea, you know.
No, that's what I was just saying in my piece, because I've heard that multiple people say that now at this point, and it's not a bad idea. I like the idea, but I like the conservative approach.
Knowing Vince,
we're good Americans. Let's keep it that way. Dang it.
Gonna make SmackDown great again.
That's exactly what this is. Oh, it's a Bob Backlund fucking promo. I'm only equating that from to Backlund from now on, and that's the political second. So,
so correct me if I'm wrong. At some point, SmackDown and Raw, there were two sets of tag team champions.
Yep.
Yes. War. Yeah.
Right.
There's enough tag teams for it to work again now. Back then, there weren't. There was for like 6 months, but they were all kind of like hodgepodge teams. They weren't like, you know, Deuce and Domino. Like, they were a legit tag team. They were brought up the same, you know?
Both shows need tag team. Both shows need tag team wrestling, and if you're going to have tag team wrestling, you need to have tag team.
I say if you want to go that route, mix it up. Tag team titles on Raw, six-man tag champs on SmackDown.
Freebird titles. Oh boy, that's. I like the idea, but boy, I don't think
they have the roster for it. They have the roster for it. They don't have
the teams for it.
They don't have the teams yet, but they can make more teams.
The only
they could take dudes like Sheamus, who aren't doing shit, and throw him in up fucking.
He's in the Ninja Turtles movie. I don't know if you ever heard about that.
I heard about that. I'm actually interested, because even though it's Michael Bay and it probably sucks, even though he did The Rock too, and that's a great movie. So I give him his due, but...
They made a sequel to The Rock?
No.
Thank you for saying that. Oh, God.
God damn it. Give you the fucking Mankind figure again. That was awesome.
It's right there. Do I take it? Do I take it? And as soon as you start opening your mouth, I'm like, I know he's doing it.
God. Amen, dude. Right on. But, you know, they got fucking Rocksteady, Bebop, and Krang. It's a fucking Ninja Turtles movie.
Fine. Smoke a little jazz. I mean, listen to a few jazz records, you're good to go.
It's going to be better than the Ghostbusters movie.
Apparently, that looks really bad.
Yeah.
Well,
Oh man, somebody did a remake of the original Ghostbusters using the same exact format as the new Ghostbusters trailer, and it's even more obvious how much of a pile of shit the new movie's gonna be.
And here's what the world is trying to. People think we're being sexist by not. Because
there was a lot of people being very sexist. Yes,
when it when the first announced, yeah, a lot of people fucking.
They think
did that,
because
yeah.
we don't like That's the trailer, we're sexist because we're against an all female cast.
It's a legitimate argument because people fucking freaked out about it. Yeah,
already. People did, not us.
Yeah,
I will. If it funny's funny, if male or female, if funny is funny.
And I like half the cast.
For all I know, that movie is going to be great, but that trailer did not do it any justice.
Yeah, and they've released two trailers and an international trailer, and I've
watched all
three. I
didn't see the
second
one or the international.
Yeah, and it's all kind of the same kind
same
of
writing,
shit, you know?
And then they're probably in trouble.
It's lazy. It's lazy writing. Really.
I guess from what I've heard, it's more or less a lot of the cast was like infighting on like joke distribution. Like, yeah. My character has to be.
They all
got to
get their shit in.
Exactly. So.
Life is rustling.
It's for me. It's a Netflix movie. A Netflix movie. It's not a theater movie.
And so, the thing for me is with remakes, like unless it is shown that it's going to be absolutely knock out of the park remake, I will watch it then. Otherwise, fuck it. I still haven't seen any of the new Transformers movies because fuck it. 1985, Orson Welles' Unicron. God damn it! You're not going to feed this CGI bullshit to me.
Stan Bush.
I felt so old right there. It was awesome.
Yeah.
We're going to...
My friend Chris would fucking kiss you in the mouth.
In the mouth. So that's not until July 19th, though, for the brand split. We're in late May here. We're going to see where they go.
I have heard that the draft's going to be on the 11th Raw. Yeah.
So we'll see where that goes.
I'll be back from that, hopefully.
AAA, Lucha Underground sort of news. This goes back to February, but fuck it all. Fucking no regrets.
I really like that song.
Apparently, wrestlers in AAA are frustrated that the company at AAA...
Sounds like a minor league baseball team.
So there's wrestlers that wrestle for AAA and Lucha Underground, but they're AAA wrestlers, so they're getting whored out to Lucha Underground. So when they work Lucha Underground, AAA gets a cut, gets a goddamn payday.
Aren't they under the same like ownership though?
Yes, but how would you feel if you had to do a side job for some other company and then somebody else gets a cut of your pay?
Yeah. But wait, I thought Dario owned Lucha Underground. What are you talking about?
I am a Dario Cueto guy.
I just thought that was an interesting news ball they're horse. They're getting whored out. AAA is their pimp.
That's fucking capitalism. Yeah.
Yep. And that's probably in their contracts that they signed.
The reason they're probably mad, though, most of all, is because right now the dinero, the Mexican dollar, whatever, the peso, excuse me.
The dinero.
I'm fucking so drunk right now.
the Julio dinero.
You're not as bad as you think.
Yeah. The peso. I misspoke. Well, it doesn't have any value in terms of...
It's a metal
of,
chair right there, boys.
Yes, that was a good one.
The mic's definitely got that.
Oh, yeah.
That was complex, just like justice.
The peso's down.
Yeah, the peso's down, so the exchange rate is not as good. So, like, they're not getting as paid as much, and they're working basically twice as hard, and they're not being compensated for it. Properly, and especially since it's between two countries too, that's where they can really fucking screw you because it's all fucking bureaucratic bullshit.
But they're getting exposure.
So the weird, yeah, exposure true. Bucks. Just like Colin said,
except
last
for
episode,
fucking
exposure bucks.
Ricochet is fine, dude. Watch New Japan.
Lucha. So AAA is using Lucha as an exposure thing, as you mentioned, and then so then the wrestlers are like, oh, I want to be on American TV. So they're frustrated, but. They pay to play. That's what it comes down to.
God damn, that shouldn't be in wrestling. Wrestling, don't incorporate that.
I'm going to bounce back and forth between promotions, back to WWE. Month and a half. Departures. We've had
many
departures since we last spoke. Damian Sandow.
It's the 12th annual fucking mass firing.
The spring cleaning, right?
Exactly. 12th annual. They've done this for fucking over a decade
it's
now.
It's business now.
How fucked up? Yeah, exactly.
Future Endeavor fucking, Day.
Like your family, but we might kill you eventually.
Don't tell me about it. I mean, so Sandow. I'll list the others after, but like.
Dude. That was the only one that fucking made me just be like, what the fuck are you doing?
Potential.
That day.
Limited potential. That dude
is fucking.
One of those guys that gets over despite his shitty gimmicks over and over again. And the crowd gives a shit and then they give him nothing. It's so stupid.
There's a chance that he asked for his release and he's just not as vocal as everyone else. Like, attention whore Cordy Rhodes.
That's definitely
apparently he found out at a baseball game. I think he was at a baseball game in Florida and just hanging out with family and they called him.
That's how Jay Lethal found out when he got released from TNA.
Yes.
Are you sure it wasn't a softball game and he was there with Sid?
You know, I can't.
Scott, I've been mad.
All right, I'm going to let you borrow this for now, Scott. I'm going to let you borrow it. Just keep it warm. Keep it warm. Keep the Mankind warm. But so you got Sandow, unlimited potential, but creative has nothing for you.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
Couldn't use him when there's a brand split. Can't find room for him on two fucking shows.
Oh, God. So
where they fucking killed Sandow, I remember it was...
When he had Money in the Bank.
Yeah, exactly. And they had him cash it in on the opening segment of a fucking SmackDown.
Yeah.
Pre-tape fucking show. So you already knew he fucking blew it.
I thought he cashed it in on Cena on Raw.
Nope. It was on Cena opening segment SmackDown after they did the...
Live SmackDown?
No, it was not a taped SmackDown, and it was after the Super Show kind of bullshit, so the brand split was useless at that point.
I want to look that up, because I saw that match, and I never watched SmackDown. I never watched a taped SmackDown.
Me neither.
But I saw that match.
Me neither, because I watched it too. It was SmackDown.
Remember how wonderful his briefcase was?
It was a chocolate brown. It was...
delicious.
Fucking looking. Awesome. Dude, perfect for his gimmick.
Yeah.
Outstanding. A+. I'm partial to chaotic guys anyway, though.
That's true, but he was good. Not just you.
Yeah, I'm a little biased, though.
A lot of people were like, really? He's been good lately.
Wait, Damian Sandow's momentum had its tires slashed as he failed to capture the World Heavyweight Championship from John Cena on Monday's WWE Raw.
It was a Raw?
It was a Raw. Because I saw this. I would not have watched a SmackDown.
I could have sworn it was a SmackDown. Am I misremembering? Is my memory not as good as I thought it was? Is my world...
Raw. It was Raw, October 28th,
2013. Wow. That sounds right.
So Sandow, I say departures because some of these are released, some of these are leaving. So Sandow, I think, got released. Cody Rhodes.
What a badass.
He asked for it, though.
Oh, yeah, departures, though. So, like, what do you, I mean.
He didn't want to be fucking Stardust anymore because he was, like, you know, he was, like, discount Goldust.
Yeah.
No, you know, he's Silver Dust at that point, you know.
Except Goldust with a more interesting gimmick.
Yeah, but Goldust is doing jack shit right now. So if fucking lesser Goldust is... What's he got to do? He's not going to fucking... It was just bad.
This is Vince constantly the Rhodes family. Just whatever. Just
no, I don't know about that. I think it was more or less they had worked something out to benefit Cody and then they went back on their word. It had nothing to do with the Rhodes
family. Timing is wrong, I think.
Yeah, I think they just had too many other fucking... eggs and too many different baskets. They had too many golden gooses on the looses,
as it were.
It yeah. sounds like one of the things that really set him off was just like the fact that he was supposed to, by this point, be back to Cody and being back on WrestleMania and
yeah,
like
exactly.
doing something. And he, like, there were multiple shows he like just wasn't on. And
he did the same exact thing at this WrestleMania that he did at the last WrestleMania. He had a spot ladder. For like a spot pop, and that was it.
They've been teasing the Goldust Stardust feud for years, and they gave it during a shitty pay per view before Mania.
Yeah.
To be fair, that match was so bad.
Crickets.
It was not good. Yeah.
We were looking forward to that.
The crowd wasn't into it.
They were also it was two years late.
It was 2 years too late, so they had no reason.
Story of the early 2010s WWE.
I was going to say it was not the wrestler's fault for that match not having any crowd interaction,
crowd was dead.
Because it was you know, fucking Sting versus Triple H. It was, you know, 10 years old, kind of too late.
So Cody Rhodes put out a long statement, pretty much his very shoot. Long-winded. I'm not doing a podcast, all this. Here's my message. He shot on the writers saying,
oh, yeah,
nothing for me. You're too busy hitting on NXT fucking developmental chicks to come up with any writing.
Do it.
He's probably right, too. And, you know, he's going to make a killing. I think him and Sandow make a couple of runs on the indies, maybe a couple of tag team spots, same cards.
If they go to New Japan, they're fucking tag champions.
It sounds like that WWE is trying to block Rhodes from...
competing until the end of his contract.
Yeah.
Which is when?
No idea.
Who the fuck knows?
Yeah.
The gamer's release, and that's the interesting part. If they fired him, he can work tomorrow, but if he asks for the release...
I think he has a 90-day no-compete clause, just because everyone has that.
Yeah, it seems to be standard.
Take some steroids, and you'll be good to go in 90 days and go to Japan. Adam Rose.
Cut his hair.
Where was release? He did. I didn't know that.
I read that today. I was like, no, good for him.
Kind of a family dispute deal. Way cooler. We don't really have to, go into it or whatever, but... You know, another dude. Hornswoggle, who had the fucking JTG effect going on with his contract, where you didn't know he was still hired, but still working.
Except for the fact that he's not putting out entertaining books as far as we know.
As far as we know.
So he did WLC like a year ago.
Oh my god, I forgot about that. That was terrible.
No, that match
was
great.
The first WLC was awesome.
No.
It's when they try to do it again the next day.
That first WLC was entertaining at best.
I think maybe it's more of the presentation than the actual match is what I'm remembering is being like, fuck off.
Fuck him and feed him.
It's kind of like, you know, it was very Mexicools to me.
Who?
I get what you're saying.
Thank you.
Get it from the spring cleaning, Alex Riley.
Alex Riley.
A-Rai.
He wasn't bad, though.
I like douchey A-Rai with Miz. I was okay with that.
Dark A-Rai in NXT wasn't bad.
Eden, Cody Rhodes' wife, obviously she's like, yeah, well, I'm out here too.
Yeah.
Hi.
Which is kind of, it's interesting. Well, not necessarily on her leaving. That's not interesting at all. But like over the last few pay-per-views with her doing more of the ring announcing, if you don't look at the screen, you're like, oh, it sounds exactly like Lillian Garcia, only she doesn't fuck up as much. And
right.
So now we're just getting botches.
That's my Lillian.
Lillian Garcia is the Sin Cara of announcing, really. Except minus
the mysticies of announcing.
Except missing the lights.
Any other departures?
Wade Barrett.
Oh, you're right. Barrett gave his notice, like, I feel like
six months ago.
And they're like, okay, so he's going to go to Hollywood probably, do a couple of low-budget movies, and then work indies.
He's doing, like, Progress Wrestling. He's already announced for it.
He's already booked?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. He said, I'm thinking about checking out Hollywood. No, you're going to work the indies.
I think he was from Progress Wrestling before he was in a...
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to book him, and then Sandow's booked, I'm sure, for months now. And then
good.
Rhodes will be booked shortly after. And what an interesting fucking independent scene you got going on there. Barrett, Rhodes, and Sandow.
Kurt Hawkins commented on that. He's just kind of like, at the same time, on one side it sucks because like these people aren't like living their dream anymore. But he's like, there's life on the indies too, because if you hustle, like every year when these people get released, there's always these like exciting matches that can happen now.
Yeah.
So it kind of like stirs things up for the indies more. So it's kind of a good thing in a way. If these, like he's like saying, if people stick with it, basically.
Here at Nick Bricker Podcast, we like to get our shit in. So all of our ads are about getting ourselves over. Here's a few more ways you can give us a push. Got enough fucking wrestling references in there, buds? Subscribe to Audible. You're already listening to podcasts. Why not listen to some books too? Visit audibletrial.com/neckbreaker for access to thousands of wrestling, metal, children's, fan fiction, whatever you want. They're all in audiobook form, and you can listen to them without having to use your stupid eyes to read. Click the ads on our website. Yeah, you might end up winning a free iPhone 6, but we still get money. They're geared towards metalheads and wrestling fans, and we get a portion from each click. You actually won't win an iPhone 6, though. Help us go ad-free with PayPal donations. Send a few bucks to brian@neckbreaker.net, and every cent will go to cover our show costs. If we get enough donations, we'll make the show completely ad-free.
Neckbreaker is proud to be affiliated with some awesome broadcast partners that help us spread the word on our show and theirs. Be sure to check out the Shining Wizards Network, fun wrestling shows, entertainment coverage, and much more over at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Blast Syndicate, an entire network of heavy metal themed podcasts and radio shows over at BlastSyndicate.com. And last but not least, Anti-Radio, a 24/7 heavy metal broadcast station that airs our episodes every weekday over at anti-radio.com.
Ring of Honor, did you guys catch Global Wars?
I did not.
Recent pay-per-view?
It was too sweet. I did not catch it, but I saw the...
You saw the ending.
I saw the ending.
So Colt Cabana and Jay Lethal was your main event for the world title, which Colt's back in Ring of Honor, which is... makes sense.
Yeah, it's good. I like that.
Long story,
good for them.
So Ring of Honor, known for their clean finishes and closure to feuds, ends this pay-per-view they've been hyping for a long time with the Bullet Club coming out and just raping everybody and super kicking the world. It was like 70 super kicks, I think. They had Steve Corino had a fucking counter in the bottom left corner with every
really?
Yeah, he was counting it as a commentator and super kick sweet. Counter. I laughed. But you know, all Ring of Honor fans are like bullshit or whatever. It's like, oh, you know, they're doing this shit now instead of clean cut matches that Ring of Honor is known for.
Yeah, but they're also known for being edgy, so I don't mind them doing once in a blue moon.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
Once
in a blue moon is fine for them.
I mean, if there's one way you're gonna heal up your fan base, that's it, you know?
I'm fine with it. I mean, the Bullet Club is great, but I'm sure it's kind of winding down, kind of Hollywood red and white NWO style. Kind of you're at that
it's
point.
It's actually kind of interesting because Kenny Omega is definitely like the leader right now. If you follow it internationally,
yes.
He's like very much so number one. But Adam Cole is very good, so it's kind of cool to have like a
macho man to the Hogan.
You have fucking Shredder in Japan. You have Krang in the U.S. type of It's for me, for the fucking guys who are into it, the douchebags, it's fine, you know.
You guys doing okay? You want to take a breather? Are you good?
I'm good.
Okay. Temperature-wise, feeling all right?
On that note, how TNA of a name did they give the Bullet Club in WWE?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
The band, the club.
The club. Like, don't call them the club. Come on, that's lazy.
That's what you put on your, like, steering wheel, man.
Christ.
Which, by the way, would have also been a
we
better...
We have a third meme.
You can hold on to that, Mankind.
Yeah,
that's fine.
You hold on.
Which, by the way, it would have been a better foreign object than most of the shit they used in Jericho Ambrose also. I was pleased with the Moppy reference. Yeah. That was good. They just need to bring out the hobby horse Pepe to finish
Jericho
it off.
Jericho Ambrose was slow until attacks. It was slow and kind of dragging. And I'm not going to say I wasn't inebriated during the match, but...
Chris Cicchini has the same feeling. Like, he doesn't like slow matches. Like, we always digress on this. I kind of enjoy the slow methodical pace at times because I kind of feel like everything's kind of like rush at this point. But so
you're gonna make a rush?
Yeah, you're gonna make a barbecue sauce now?
No, I'm getting there my own way though. But I like that. I like the high energy action. I think the wrestling right now is the best it's ever been.
I thought you were gonna make a rush joke, not a barbecue joke, but I liked it. It was good.
But when I was watching the Jericho Ambrose match, and I was like, I kind of like this is slow, methodical. Everything's thought out. Everything's like moving along at its own pace. And every once in a while, I like being. It's kind of like the same thing as the Ring of Honor main event. Every once in a while, I like things to slow down and have like sort of like a story to tell. When they did the so many like teases before Jericho went in the tax, I thought that was great.
I like that build towards the tax, but the other weapons, I don't know. They're part. I like builds, but then some of it would just seem like filler. Like we needed to eat some pay per view time too.
I understand. I think we've been conditioned to expect a faster pace, so sometimes slower pace matches have that effect on people.
I also think if you're going to work a slower pace, it really should be between two guys that really, really fucking hate each other. And, like, there's a reason for it to
be slower. They were fighting over a plant.
Exactly. Like, you know, it's...
They made it work, though. They made it work.
The Resurrection of Jake the Snake Roberts documentary is going to be on Netflix in June.
So I'm going to watch it.
So, yes, I'll
probably watch it, too.
I'll check that out. That's just a quickie. The next NXT pay-per-view, or the next takeover, is called The End.
Yeah.
Which is going to have Balor and Joe in the first NXT cage match of all time.
Yep.
The end just, I think the end is the end of that feud versus the end of NXT, but the internet's like, oh my god.
I think it's the end of Finn Balor and NXT.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
End. Kind of like how the last takeover was the end of Sami Zayn and NXT. I think that's how they're doing it.
Let's keep moving along here. I got a few more bullets left, and we'll wrap things up, getting towards the end here. Evolve Wrestling is debuting in Massachusetts, July 15th in Wakefield, and I think there's going to be Cruiserweight Classic qualifying matches? I don't know. I don't know the card, but hey, another company coming to Massachusetts, I'm going to take it.
Not bad. Not a bad thing.
Take it. A few more here. Thoughts on the Shane McMahon Foley interview?
I haven't seen it yet.
Fell asleep during it.
Foley is a puss bag when it comes to interviewing Shane McMahon.
Foley, I'm a huge Foley mark, of course, but Foley's not an interviewer. That's like the first interview he gets to do. Oh, here's Shane McMahon. That's the only thing I'm giving him. He could have been harder. He could have...
They keep it light. They're not going to do a hard interview.
No,
if they want that, they'll go on off.
The hardest interview they had on the network was when Austin interviewed McMahon.
Yeah.
Yes, talking about... he brought up everything.
Yeah.
At that point, Vince said, knock it off.
Yeah.
Keep it light.
Stop it, Austin.
People are like, optimism, god damn it.
The only thing with Foley is he obviously isn't worried about getting shit canned or anything. No. Like, he's fine with not being involved with
WWE.
That's
not true. He's worried about his daughter because she wants to get into it.
Of course.
A network show, so he's playing it safe.
He wants it safe for the network, of course.
And, of course, Kane Dewey. Let's not forget that.
But, I mean, Foley at points...
Do you think Dewey ever dressed up as Kane for Halloween?
Give him that figure. That's yours, John. That was really good. I like that.
Before
I popped.
Take this, can I admit, I thought of that, like... 6 months ago, but I forgot that I thought of it until right now.
Doesn't matter how you got here.
I'm the only person who hasn't had that. Now. That kind of sucks.
Plenty of time, baby.
Cool, bro.
Plenty of
there
time.
There is not. It's warm in
there's
here.
There's been many episodes that I've given. Yeah, it's toasty.
I got it.
Finally, his childhood dream has been realized.
You guys want to? I could pause and come back.
Just keep going.
Okay, we're almost there.
Keep going.
All right. Well, Foley kept prodding at the Triple H awkwardness, and then Shane wasn't really going there. So, like, I don't. You think they're building to a feud at SummerSlam?
I don't know about that. I think it was just
That seems logical.
It was a great non-answer, and the fact that it answered everything by his non-response.
Hey, he did the brother-in-law response. As long as he makes her happy.
Foley, Shane, Hell in a Cell.
And they both dive off?
1999. Not right now, though. No.
I couldn't find anything TNA-wise. I found one item.
Of course you couldn't. Oh my god, there's nothing there.
Well, did something happen in
Pop
TNA?
Pop TV announced that TNA is going to be on the fall lineup. That's all I got.
They have a multi-year deal, yeah.
And they stopped showing the replay.
Well, just because you have a multi-year deal doesn't mean they could pull a trigger and just have to pay pay rights, but...
There's only so many hours in the day, and at this point, I'm just kind of like, I can't invest much time in TNA. So it's not like anything they did this time.
No.
I don't know if the warehouse thing came up last time or not.
No, it's been a month and a half, so
okay.
Probably not.
So they lost their actual offices and now moved into their merch warehouse. So their actual offices and their merch warehouse is the same thing.
The reason they did that was so that their production team could move into a better studio.
Hot take.
Yeah.
Shots fired.
I looked into that and I was just kind of like, are they really like working out of a warehouse right now?
It is the most nondescript looking building of all time.
I would say 60% yes.
Let's talk returns, WWE-wise. We had a bunch of returns in the past month and a half. Oh, kind of returns. Rollins, of course.
Rollins.
CrossFit Jesus.
The CrossFit Jesus, of course. You had Cesaro came back.
Rollins cut a great promo when he came back, too.
Yeah.
Because it would have been easy for him to be babyface.
Yeah.
Real quick.
It would have been logical.
And he was for the first 80% of it.
Yeah. until
he said he threw away fan mail and all hell broke loose.
Yeah. I mean, his promo was funny. It was good.
Are we at an abundance? Do we have not enough heels? Is that why?
Yeah, they have the best heel in the company. He's the champion.
Yeah, I was going to say there's not enough true heels. The true heels aren't true heels. Their top two heels are Cena and fucking Reigns.
And they're heels in the Northeast and then faces everywhere else. Enzo Amore just came back. I don't know if he's not working yet, but he's back on TV at least. Brutal concussion he had.
The ring beat his ass.
And
those ropes are very tight.
It looked like Cass was kind of uncomfortable with the promo the other night, since he's been doing his own shit in between.
He was actually pretty good when he was going.
He was fine
by himself, but the dual promo definitely threw them off.
Yeah.
You could tell they both missed a mark. Like, something happened in there, because they were kind of talking between themselves, like, You, me, okay.
Hogan.
One of them went to talk, and like the camera was on Cass, and then Enzo kept talking.
Cass did it a couple times.
There was kind of a disconnect there, and I think that was mostly a communication error, because Cass was okay on his own. Not great.
Better than you'd think it'd be.
Better than you'd think. Exactly, yeah. B+ for promo.
Yeah, but he's just a giant man, really.
He's a giant man who's kind of like new, so give him a chance.
Name a early WWE wrestler that had many gimmicks.
Many gimmicks?
Crush
had many gimmicks, but they're all called Crush.
Nope, done. Right. So
Repo Man.
The Crush of 2016 is Primo and Epico. Shining Stars.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted.
If you wanted to make sure people didn't want to go to Puerto Rico, watch one of their vignettes.
Did you see the match they wrestled, though?
I
did not.
The first match?
Yeah.
No.
They wrestled a different style. It was kind of nice.
I like tag teams, and I like them as...
I like seeing new things, trying new things.
Give the match a whirl, because, I mean, they got jobbers. It was jobbery.
Yeah, I imagine it was very Rob Conway-y.
They kicked the shit out of them, obviously. Yeah. But they kicked the shit out of them.
Okay.
Which is really... I don't know. I'm kind of a little hopeful for it.
If there's anything for them to be, it's that. That's their gimmick. Fine.
Yeah.
They're from Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rican wrestlers?
Keep it simple. That's what they are.
The fans are going into this being like, okay, we've seen them twice already. The El Matadores was destined to fail, though. So kind of like, all right, Primo, just erase that from your memory and just think back, okay, Primo and Epico were kind of vanilla. But, you know, they were good wrestlers, so give them a chance now. I think it's a good way to look at this.
Plus, it looks like they're going to hate America at some point, which is pretty good for a heel.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they need to make fun of the fact that they were Los Matadores. Don't ignore it. Just fucking put it up. If they joke about it once or twice, we'll forget about it. We're fine with it.
Torino was released,
but don't pretend like it never happened.
Good call, yeah.
back to John. John gets Mankind. Young Bucks.
He deserves it more.
New Japan news. Young Bucks are both injured. Both of them. Rib and hand injuries. So.
Not major injuries, but they're injured enough to miss the Super Jacob Juniors whatever it is.
That's a good loss. So hopefully they get better, but the way they work, I'm surprised it didn't happen sooner. Emma, back surgery.
It looked like she was getting a little bit of... some steam going on.
She was getting some shine, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I enjoy any Lemma.
I like the dark lipstick big boss man gimmick she had going for herself.
Aviators?
I kind of dug it. I enjoyed it. Maybe I'm into Australian women.
On that note, with all of the female wrestlers, now that it's the women's championship and not the Divas title anymore.
Thank God.
Of all of the people that they've had brought up from NXT with all of the talent in the world, Natalya, I don't see it at all.
I like Natalya.
What don't you see?
It doesn't
hit you well.
I think of Natalya as a attractive woman.
I think, basically, you bring up Sasha Banks, and you don't even have her on shows at all.
She's injured right now. She has a concussion.
Right now, she got hit by a ref in the head with a knee. I don't know how the fuck that happened.
God damn it, Charles Robinson.
Little Nate.
Yeah. But, I mean, between Sasha and Paige and all of the other... It feels like the women's division is two people right now, which is kind of strange considering that they want to focus on it.
Maybe they need some women tag titles.
Natty's gonna always be
an interesting idea.
They have enough women to divide, you know, singles on one show, tag on another.
You know who the the longest reigning woman on the roster right now is? Alicia Fox.
I was gonna say, like, it's
yes,
it's someone, you know, Alicia Fox. It might have been Rosa Mendez, but you know, it's Alicia Fox. She's been there for like what, 11 years now?
11, probably about that.
Yeah.
Only got two more bullets left here. The Cruiserweight Classic coming up here. I think it's in July. I think they're doing. Is it going to be on the network in July?
Yes. Everyone is looking forward to this. I am.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of the most forward-looking ideas that they've had in general.
It's
like ever really.
I feel like they just didn't tell Vince. Just like, you know, like it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission, kind of deal.
Definitely.
Hey.
You know, like
every time then
Vince is so busy with the, you know, the paperwork and selling stocks and all that bullshit. They just like, hey, maybe we'll sneak in a cruiserweight fucking tournament.
Hey,
with a bunch of indie promotions and air it on the network later.
The older he gets, the easier it's going to be.
Indeed, indeed. So
he also likes money.
He does. Roster so far, I think.
Money.
You get Zack Sabre Jr., who dude is fucking money. Drew Gulak. We've seen him a few times. Tommaso Ciampa. And I didn't write anybody else.
We had the second best match at NXT. Unfortunately, the best match had a title change.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, the Ciampa fucking Biff Busick match.
It was fucking awesome.
Outstanding. Match of the night.
Damn good. I don't know. Last but not least, something. Bruno Sammartino is doing his very last autograph signing in November at the big event in New York. I don't know. I wrote it down. It's something. Bruno's fucking tired. He's like, I'm done.
I'm sick of this shit. I'm 120.
Yes, I'm sick
Yeah, I mean, you know,
I would have figured he stopped doing autographs like 10 years ago.
Yeah, I didn't think he still did this thing.
Final plugs, again, we open the show with a cheap plug. Got to get our shit in. Get our shit in June 17th, again.
Ding dongs.
Friday, June 17th, Nashville Elks Lodge 720 on Daniel Webster
Highway. We have shirts.
Brand new shirts. They're in the box behind John right now.
Yeah.
Vinyl update for Drive By Bukkake. Guitars, drums, lead vocals, done. Bass is being tracked. Artwork's being finalized. But with vinyl turnaround times in 2016, we're hoping to get it by the end of the year, but it might be tight. Vinyl pressing plants are giving 4-month quotes right now. 4 months out. The moment you give them the files to when you get it back is probably 4.5 months.
Oh, boy.
So that's brutal. So we're hoping by the end of the year we'll get it in our hands. Stay tuned for that. Final plugs. Chris, you have... you're going to be Las Vegas Death Fest, I think, this year, right?
Exactly. We're playing on July 11th, the Saturday of Las Vegas Death Fest.
Oh, perfect.
Not July, fucking June. I'm a fucking idiot. I'm very drunk right now.
Saturday's a good spot.
Saturday. I'm flying in on Friday night, so I'm going to be partying all night. Who knows how I'm going to feel on Saturday.
Terrible.
Yeah, but you know, I'll be fine. I was fine the last two times, kind of. You know what I remembered the other day was that we played twice at the first Las Vegas Death Fest that we were at. I think it was the second year. I totally forgot that we played the second day mainly because I was so sick and I felt terrible.
They just gave you like an edit undo or like why?
We were all there and one of the bands had van troubles and had to drop off. So
always pack your gear, brother.
We were there and they're like, hey, if you want to play, we have a spot opening up, and we were like, sure. So we played that day. It was supposed to be our day off, but, you know, no days off. Equality.
Oh,
I'm doing the pose, too. I'm doing the pose. Anyway, but yeah, we're going to be in Las Vegas June 11th for Las Vegas Death Fest, and I'm looking forward to it. It's kind of like my vacation, so.
Yeah, what the hell?
Come and fucking do some sports bets with me at the casinos.
Every time we log in to post a new show on SoundCloud, Kasaris Entertainment System puts out two new tracks. So where are you guys?
You guys. Because I'm fucking so fat.
Oh, I'm so fat. Nobody loves me.
I guess thank he you. Can tap it.
I get it. Because
that's exactly where I was going with that comment. I get the
man back. But, I put out...
Mankind!
I put out a redone punch out just because it's very easy for me to re-record.
We use that very often on our commercials.
I know. I could tell. So I got a better quality one up for you now. So I always wanted to do that anyway. So it's kind of on my list of things to do. And now I'm kind of burned out. So, because I released so much in such a short period of time, I did Paperboy, Contra, Zelda, and Contra and Zelda, it was, you know, 20 minutes worth of music right there. So I did that plus Punch Out, another 5 minutes, kind of burned out since I'm doing Nitro Party now too. So I'm putting it on the back burner until at least probably like July or August.
You CM Punk yourself, just burned out and fucked us.
No. I kind of, I'm good with time management. I can divide it up equally. I didn't do much before that with KES, so I mean, it happens.
That'll be the headline on Lords of Pain in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Chris says CM Punk is terrible with time management.
Hey.
More than 11.
I officially challenge CM Punk to a UFC fucking match.
Yeah.
Me versus CM Punk, open weight, you know, not for nothing. I won't even train for it. I'll just fucking show up, and if he wins, he wins. If I lose, you know, I have nothing to lose. If I win, you know, get back in a WWE ring, you fucking asshole.
I had a dream that he came back.
He's so good. Why isn't he there? You're the Macho Man. God damn you, you fucking prick.
He doesn't throw an elbow drop like a Macho Man.
No, he does not. But God damn it, I like him as much as I like Macho Man.
Boy, we do miss him. Scott, any other plugs? Again, you can drop your Bandcamp or anything.
Well, first to start, if you're into Danzig, I did a Metal Thursday Danzig tribute this last Halloween called Damezig, which was hilarious and fun as shit. Look that up on YouTube. Fun time. And, of course, Dreaded Silence, The Last Vestige of Hope, available on our Bandcamp at dreadedsilence.bandcamp.com. Get it today.
Very professional. Thank you, Scott. John, Nitro Party.
Yeah, same shit.
Great plug.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, the Nitro Party stuff. It's pretty much done. You get hearing it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Should we post a song soon? Like,
I sent Brian songs today. I was like, if you want to put it on the podcast, here you go.
I didn't see an email.
But it's the songs that John doesn't like. So.
Oh, yeah. If it's no, I don't want any of those two. If you're going to play it on the podcast. Should we put one up?
We'll figure it out.
You just posted it online.
No, you did send it to me. I just haven't checked my email.
Well, just put one today. Online and I'll just say we did it right now?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Which one you want to put online?
I'll decide and you'll find out.
Put on the SoundCloud.
Yeah.
What do you want? Do you want fucking Triple H or do you want Evolution?
Neither.
Exactly.
Oh, God damn it.
Which Hunter?
The game. The only one we didn't do was... King of Kings, because I don't like that song.
All right, so if you listen to this, check out the Nitro Party Facebook.
Something went up
whichever
there.
Whichever song we posted, because I haven't decided yet.
We're going to post a song to SoundCloud. I don't know which song it is yet. It can be one of 8 or 9. So, yeah, there it
check
is.
That we're
putting
shit
up
out.
A new song, though. So.
Put up a new song.
Let's wrap this shit
and
up.
I'm not making it available to download either, so you're going to have to fucking buy that shit, you cunts.
Support. Yeah, twait.
You piece of shit. Let's wrap it up.
Fucking slit.
It's a fucking sauna in here. Let's wrap it up. Follow us. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn.
Buy the shirt.
Buy the journal.
Buy the journal. I knew you were going to say live journal. And you.
I didn't stop myself either. I knew it was going.
By the live
at show. NB Podcast, that's our URL for everything. Follow our fucking garbage. Neckbreaker.net. We have premium drunk commentary shows. That's tough to say sober. We have merch. We have a full archive. Ton more at neckbreaker.net. Tell your friends about our show. I told a dude at Dunkin' Donuts the other day about our show, and he was pleased. So word of mouth is fucking good. You're in line at Dunkin's at 6 a.m. and you're fucking tired. Tell him you're listening to Neckbreaker in your car. Thanks for listening, guys, and thanks for being on this week's episode.
Thank you for having me on, sir.
Very professional. You brought your own voiceover guy, didn't you?
I certainly did.
Indeed I did. Cheers.
Sable, get the hell out of here!
It's been a while.
You know it's Mabel.
Mabel!
Mabel, get the hell out of here!
Cheers.
But what about Oscar?
Oscar!
The time has come. The episode is finished. And now you're craving some live wrestling and metal events. And the best way to get your fix is by grabbing tickets from our friends at Click It Ticket. Google Click It Ticket, add some wrestling, metal, or sporting seats to your cart,
then enter the promo code NECKBREAKER at checkout for an exclusive 5% discount. Once again, Google Click It Ticket, add some tickets to your cart, enter NECKBREAKER, and you'll get your 5% discount. Show's over, fucks.